Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by Brian Irwin, the former Texas high school head coach, two-time state champion of the Lamarck Cougars, now in private business. Brian does us a favor and every so often talks a little Texas football with us. I want to reach out to Brian this week because, Brian, we've got the first week of spring practice underway for the Longhorns. They actually get back after it again later today, or actually probably as a lot of people are watching this video this morning. Let's just get going and talk a little bit about some things, because I had some questions I wanted to ask you. You've been there at Texas when as a GA or student assistant, when newcomers come in. And there are a couple of questions I had for you as it relates to that. Mm-hmm. And the first one is this: a new class comes in, how soon do coaches know what they have in players? Like, can they immediately play? Or are they going to have to wait on them? How soon can coaches start the pecking order, if that makes sense?
I think pretty quickly. First it comes down to physically. Are they able and are they capable of performing at a high level physically at that level? And, you know, the first thing you look at is position groups. I mean, of course, a receiver, a running back, those types of players have a better chance of playing because they don't have as far to go physically as far as adding weight. You know, they may put on 4 pounds or 7 pounds versus a DT or an O lineman, you know, needing to put on 20, 25, 30 pounds. And then, you know, the strength gains that they've got to make in order to play at that level. So I think pretty quick, especially when it comes to receivers, running backs, and your specialty package type players, you know. So physically, can they cut the mustard? Do they look the part physically? Do they have what they need in the weight room? Physically, do they play with the kind of leverage and speed they need to play with at their particular position? And then you look mentally, what type of mental makeup does he have? And, you know, with these early enrollees, putting them through off-season strength conditioning things, they've already gotten a chance to look to see how these guys are going to respond when things get really, really tough at 6:15 in the morning. How are they going to respond when they get just completely exhausted? So you look at them physically, you look at them mentally, and based on what position they play, I think you know pretty soon can they play. And then, of course, obviously, it also you've got to take into consideration what type of depth and what type of skill do you have from the previous year. Sometimes you know a guy can play, and then sometimes you need a guy to play.
Yeah, a big difference, right?
Yes, yes.
That's a big difference. And, I think I go back on this because I think there have been things that have changed since you were there. And one of them is this, you just mentioned it. Now they get a month or two with the coach. Like before, the coaches couldn't even hang out with the guys, be on the field with them prior to spring practice starting.
Right.
Now the coaches get to be on the field. They get to see them work out. They get to touch and feel before spring ball. So that's 2.5 months or 2 months they're on campus. They're already getting some familiarity with
it. Yeah.
And that is a fundamental difference about today's college football than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, both strength conditioning wise and football wise, because back in the day, you know, a kid might could come in during the summertime, but it was strictly strength conditioning, getting them ready in the weight room. And then they didn't get to start the football stuff until, you know, August. And a true freshman might get 2 or 3 days by himself with the coaches, and then the veterans showed up. So, yeah, the combination of seeing them strength, speed, conditioning, and football skills, they're way ahead of the game now.
All right. I want to ask you some questions next about – we talked about physical conditioning, and there are a couple guys that came in above weight and a couple guys that dropped weight this offseason, right? DJ Campbell was 340-something last year. Mm-hmm. He got listed at 332. I think he's even lighter than that now based on what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And the opposite of that, Sadir Mitchell, 370-plus. Okay. Mm-hmm. What does that really say to you? Like, I mean, get past all the hyperbole and really kind of, you know, boil it down in a coach's perspective of what it means.
I think it depends. You know, did they want them to put on weight? Did they want them to lose weight? You know, maybe in a DJ Campbell's point, did they want him to lose, you know, 8 pounds or so? Sadir Mitchell, you know, did they want him to put on however many pounds he puts on? He weighed in 370. It's hard to say as far as what they desired them to do. I can't imagine that a guy at that level with the support staff they have nowadays, the attention to detail they have these days, if a guy comes in way above weight, something's not right. You know, if a guy comes in below weight, you know, maybe he was sick for a week or two. He could have, something could have been going on. But if they're, you know, 5, 10, 15 pounds one way or the other, something's wrong. Something's wrong, because it's now not just an art, it's a science.
Right, gotcha. They definitely wanted DJ to lose some weight, is my understanding, and get more, get quicker was the idea. And I think he is quicker based on what I saw and based on what I'm hearing behind the scenes as well. All right, this episode of the Saturday Conversation with Brian Irwin brought to you by Laura Baker and the she's with Keller Williams. She actually has a couple of open houses this weekend. We're going to promote for her. One is at 9550 Savannah Ridge Road, number 16. And that is from 1 to 3 on Saturday. That's 9550 Savannah Ridge, number 16. Nice house there. Laura having an open house today. The other is at 17313 Rush P Circle. That's 17313 Rush P Circle. And that's the one with the pool in the backyard. It's from 1 to 3 on Sunday. So Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 3. She has two different ones. One at 9550 Savannah Ridge, number 16. And the other, 17313 Rush P Circle in Austin. All right, Brian, let's talk a little bit more about something else that I want to mention to you. We just talked a little bit about the ability of wide receivers to play a little early. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, early on in camp, Ryan Wingo has been very impressive. The true freshman out of St. Louis. Very, very impressive. I went on record as saying, and you know, I think he's the best wide receiver prospect that Texas has signed since Xavier Worthy. Since Roy Williams. And that includes Xavier Worthy.
Right.
Now, Xavier's a little bit different. He's just a jet is what he is. But Ryan is more of that 6'2", 200, 205, going to end up being 215 and still run 10.5. And he'll run 4.35, kind of like A.D. Mitchell did.
Yeah.
He's more of that prototype. And I think he may end up being a better route runner than A.D. Mitchell long-term, just based on what I've seen thus far. Okay, you have him, and then we have another guy named Aaron Butler that came in, and through two practices, he has looked pretty good for the Longhorns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very quick, very athletic, but we've got a ton of guys ahead of him, and we have another sophomore named DeAndre Moore, who he's been the first guy to practice the first two practices. And I, that means something, right?
That means something.
Yeah. I mean, as a coach, it just – they care more. I mean, caring matters. Jordan Whittington used to be the first person at practice.
Yeah. And we all know how we feel about him.
Yeah, exactly. Roshan, those kind of guys.
Yeah.
You kind of put a little check mark next to them mentally, right? Yeah. But none of those are supposed to be the top four going into the year. Not with Silas Bolden coming in the summer, with Jonte Cook already being the top sophomore returning. Then you add Isaiah Bond, who looks very, very good, mm-hmm. as well as Matthew Golden out of the University of Houston. Sark is not, we've talked about this, Sark has not used a lot of receivers in his days, mm-hmm. at least not at Texas so far. A lot of that, I think, has become because of he didn't have a lot of receivers.
Right.
Tom Herman used a lot of receivers when he didn't have a lot of receivers, right? Mm-hmm. And so he took some skill guys off the field. What are your thoughts on how Sark might play that, and do you think he's open to playing it a little differently than he has in the past?
I think he can be and should be. You take a guy like these two freshmen that are so special, Probably not going to start, probably not going to play, you know, 40 snaps a game, much less 75 snaps a game, but can they play, you know, 12 snaps a game? And that's where that type of player has the best chance of coming in and playing early, because they can run. They've got a catch radius. They've got a skill set that lends itself to a package, whether it's jet sweep, whether it's screen, whether it's taking the top off the defense, you name it. I mean, whatever that guy's skill set is and what he's great at, you can plug him in there and pull a guy off the field, get him some rest. And at the same time, you're not dropping off one bit when you put Ryan Wingo in there for six snaps a game to do what he does best. He's an elite athlete. Same thing with Butler. He's an elite athlete at what he does. Doesn't matter whether he's a freshman. I mean, if you run 4-3, 4-3-5, you run a 10-5, that's what you run. And as a matter of fact, if you're a freshman and you run that, you're going to run a lot faster on Saturday afternoon trying to stay away from those cats. But, you know, I think based on skill set and their ability, you definitely get those guys on the field and you're not losing anything. You get the opportunity to get those guys some experience and spell your older guys and take some mileage off their legs.
Got it. I'm interested to see exactly how it all works out, because he has used more receivers at other places. It's just been at Texas, and I do think it's indicative of what he's had available to him, right? I mean, Casey Kane had more snaps as a sophomore than he did as a junior when they added Adonai Mitchell and Jordan Whittington came back healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like I think it has a lot to do with what the delta is between player A and player B that you're putting in. And if it's a wide gap, you know,
I think maybe a couple of answers to that with Sark, maybe A, he plays a lot of personnel packages and a lot of heavy personnel packages, you know, 12 type package, you know, 21 package, where you may only have two receivers on the field. And the next down, you know, he may go to an 11, you got three. Very seldom, you know, are we in a 10 personnel package with four wide receivers on the field.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
So I think that's one thing. And then obviously Sark's not a big tempo guy either. You know, these teams that are tempo, high tempo teams, they've got to play 6 to 8 receivers minimum to keep these guys fresh and to get them to the end of the game playing fast. And because we're not tempo so much, it lends itself to being able to play fewer receivers and keep your best guys on the field.
Let me ask you another question. You mentioned tempo, and so this is going to be a question for coaches. Okay. They turn the headset communication off, I believe, with either 12 or 15 seconds left on the play clock, right? Mm-hmm. So if they do that on both offense and defense, right, do you think it'll slow some teams down that were high tempo, but now that they want to get to a point where the coaches can't communicate? Like if you're an offense and you know what you want to do, you want to get below that threshold of when they can talk to the defense to adjust. You think that's going to change tempo teams a little bit, maybe slow them down? Or do you think it'll speed them up? I don't know.
It could speed them up. You know, the tempo guys are pretty headstrong with that. I think some people tempo just to be tempoed, and I don't buy it. I don't agree with it a lot. I've seen people tempo themselves to death and get beat, you know, by 50 instead of by 17. But I think it could speed some tempo teams up. But in our case, I think it'll slow us down maybe even a little bit more. I mean, what a huge advantage. I was reading that article the other day about the headsets and Sark and play call. What a huge advantage we have with Sark being who he is, being the play caller, being the head coach, being the quarterback guru. Huge advantage.
Why do you say that, Brian?
Because he's such a good communicator. He's so calm over there on the sidelines as he's calling plays. And at the same time, he's a quarterback guy. You know, a lot of times these off-airs may be, you know, O-line coaches. They may be, you know, a wide receiver coach. They're not always the quarterback coach. And so in this case, Sark is dialed in, you know, with those quarterbacks. We know that day in, day out. And I think his ability to communicate very clearly and calmly and probably really, really efficiently is going to be great for Quinn and Arch and whoever's playing the position.
Got it. All right. I wanted to ask you another offensive question before we close out here. And that's the offensive line. I watched them quite a bit on Tuesday afternoon. I heard they've looked great in both practices. We only get about 30 minutes in the media window session the first day. Did not get a chance to see them in the second day, but everything I've heard is they look stout. Frankly, they're starting to look like some Texas lines of old. And when I mean old, I don't mean 5 or 10 years ago. I mean 20 to 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So my question to you, Brian, is how much – like you saw an improvement last year on the O-line.
Mm-hmm.
How much better do you think the O-line can actually become than what it was a year ago? And what could that mean long-term to a team?
When I first think about this team, I think about the offensive line because now it's an old group. You used the word old a while ago because it's been a long time since we've had a group like this. I think of it as we're old physically now. We're you know, juniors and seniors. And like we started this segment out, to be an offensive lineman, you've got to be physically mature. You've got to be at your optimum weight. You've got to be at your optimum strength. You've been in the weight room now, some of them 3-4 years. They're squatting the roof, you know, squatting the house. They're bench pressing the house. They're strong as an ox. And you combine that the age and the physical maturity with the experience that they have working together now for 3 or 4 years. It's an old veteran group played together now for 3 seasons. And that's a huge advantage. That's the key to having a great offensive line. And also kind of going back to that other segment we were talking about, you plug in a receiver and to run a jet sweep or to run a screen or to take the top off a defense, it doesn't affect anything. It doesn't affect anybody. You put a new body in or a young body in at the offensive line spot for 6 plays, 10 plays, 1 play, whatever it is, it's totally different. Those 5 guys have to work in unison. You add the tight end in there, those 6 guys have to work in unison. And when that experience level is not there by maybe a young guy, it just doesn't work right. Whereas you can throw a skill kid in there and the offensive linemen don't care who's catching the ball. They don't care who's running the screen or who's catching the go ball. But when you're playing offensive line, you have to have complete trust that each guy to your right and to your left, he's taking the right step. His hand placement's where it needs to be. The combo schemes are working. You're getting all kinds of games and blitzes and things thrown at you. And they've got to have the confidence in each other. And the only way you can have that type of confidence is through experience and playing together. And then just knowing when it comes time to put screws on screws, we've got the physical strength and maturity to handle the physical nature of the game.
All right. One final question here for Coach Irwin that I had. Brian, I was at the pro day on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn Ewers looked like $1 million. Just telling you. I also said on Tuesday in that from what little I saw, he's changed the trajectory of his deep ball a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're not bringing rain. And he's not throwing it too much on a rope. He looks like he's got the right feel. Now, whether that's his footwork or whatever it is, He looked good on Tuesday, and then he went out there on Wednesday, and Jerry Hamilton had this, you know, a pro day, you're not, there's no defenders, right? Yeah. So yeah. Jerry was like, this is like pro golf. Mm-hmm. He's the guy out there, and all he's competing against is the hole in front of him, right? He ain't got to worry about hands in his face and all that. He looked, I was there, and I was in between two scouts, or I wasn't in between, I was behind two scouts, and one of them looked over the other one, and it was like, he threw one bad ball all day. It's kind of like, you know, that kind of tone. And the other guy just looked at him and said, natural thrower.
Yeah.
For Quinn. He's looked better. And what I was impressed with, though, as much as anything, he's always been able to throw, Brian. Mm-hmm. You know that. I mean, he's got ultra talent.
Yeah.
The command. I mean, he wasn't cocky, but he went out there confident in front of 96 scouts.
Wrong.
And delivered. That's a lot of.
Yeah.
That's pressure. It's the golf type of pressure, though, right? It's not the 100,000 cheering fans.
No, it's the 7-on-7 type pressure where, you know, they're throwing against air. It's even easier than that because he's throwing against air. But you don't have defensive linemen in your face. You don't have offensive linemen at your feet. And, that's fantastic to hear. But, again, it's just more maturity, more physical maturity. He knows the playbook. I mean, of course, we probably put in some new packages, some new wrinkles, some new plays. But he knows the playbook like the back of his hand. He's physically mature. He knows what Sark's trying to tell him. He's confident in his pre-snap reads. He's confident in his post-snap reads. Knows where the ball is supposed to go. And I just relied on his talent. And we know what kind of talent he's got to extend. His throwing motion is incredible from an extension standpoint and throwing the football.
Yep. All right. Well, hey, Brian, I appreciate you very much, buddy. We'll talk again soon. That's been Brian Irwin, former head football coach for Lamarck. Were you at Hillsborough? You were that's your alma mater, I believe. Marcus, some other stops along the way. Two-time state champ with Lamarck, now in private business. Very much a Longhorn. He and I went to school together at Texas at the same time. All right, Brian, thank you so much for joining us for this Saturday conversation. Also, don't forget, Laura Baker has two open houses, 9550 Savannah Ridge, number 16. That's today from 1 to 3. And then tomorrow, 17313 Rush P Circle on Sunday from 1 to 3. Nice stuff there from Laura. We wish her nothing but the very best. She's with Keller Williams Realty. All right. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Bobby. Logan.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.